thank you for joining us. It's all about your health, because that's what determines how you feel, how you function, how you're preparing, and what you're doing. And it's all about getting ready for whatever. That's right. We heard some Power Hour chatter about all the wood being sold to the government. Yeah, cordwood being sold to the government. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? All right, let's talk about those fruits and veggies that you want to buy organic. 12 of them that you want to buy organic and 15 that you can eat that are naturally clean. Okay, here we go. Celery. You want to buy that organic. These are the organic ones. Due to the peak consumer time around Thanksgiving in Christmas, did you know that 75% of the celery is grown during the fall and winter because of Thanksgiving and Christmas? And the rain and wind promote bacteria and fungal diseases. And because of that, they spray celery repeatedly to ward off pests. So there's your warning on celery. Buy it organic. The next one, peaches. They spray peaches almost once a week, and the peach fuzz is where a lot of the pesticides, etc., can be found. So you want to definitely eat your peaches and eat them from bloom to harvest. By the way, they will once a week spray them. So peaches are a definite organic item to buy. Kind of hard to find. The next one is going to be strawberries. And the reason for the strawberries is because they want blemish-free fruits. You know, nobody wants a nasty bite out of a strawberry. It's not going to look very good. So to get them that way, they spray them a lot. I have heard that apples are number one in, which we're going to cover next, apples are number one in the pesticided arena, and strawberries are number two. Sweet-smelling and delicious, the apples are susceptible to more than 30 insects and 10 diseases. So you want to make sure that you eat only organic ones, because they use so many chemicals to fight off so many of those bugs. The next one is blueberries. Now, they may seem to be really kind of innocent, but they're on the dirty dozen list because the USDA tests them 3 years ago. They only test them every 3 years. They are targets for maggots and bagworms, and that's why they spray them so much. So you don't want to eat conventionally grown blueberries. The next one, nectarines. Nectarines differ from peaches. They don't have any fuzz, but thanks to their waxy skin, they don't retain as many pesticides, but they're really prone to rot and scarring, so they try to make them look all pretty so that you'll buy them, so they spray them a lot. So nectarines are ones that you also want to buy organic. Bell peppers. Unlike cruciferous vegetables such as broccoli, sweet bell peppers have no bitter compounds that can stave off the built-in insect repellents. They lack the fiery taste of their cousins, the chili peppers, and the creases in their crowns may provide nooks for bacteria and pesticides to accumulate. So you don't want to eat green bell peppers or red bell peppers that are conventionally grown. You want them to be organic. Spinach is a mere leaf that's crunched by a variety of insects. Many, many insects love eating it, including grasshoppers. So that's why, and by the way, spinach tends to pull persistent DDT residues out of the soil and into the leaf. Even though DDT was banned years ago, it still gets into the leaf, and they use that to clear up their land. Kale. Oh, my goodness. You heard about my kale chips? Ron tasted those and loved them yesterday. So outer leaves of kale are removed before sale, so any amount of damage will makes it unmarketable. People don't like to see dirty kale. Well, anyway, they have huge amounts of contaminants or bugs that like to eat the kale because it is so healthy. So you don't want to get conventionally grown kale. The next one is organic cherries. You want to buy them organic. He and his wife, Maureen Castle Testy, are the primary filmmakers of the movie The Singing Revolution. Remember a couple of years ago, I just could not quit talking about it? Well, I'm back in that mode again. It is so incredibly good. They conceived this film. They meticulously researched the subject matter. They worked together as producers, writers, and directors on the project. And we're going to be talking with James Testy today about the project. And I'm thrilled to tell you, you can get it at the Power Mall by calling 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829, and we'll get it up on thepowermall.com very shortly. But thank you so very much, James Testy, for making this movie that has inspired me beyond belief and for being here today. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay, this is a movie about a real country that had a real revolution, and they did it by singing. Now, that obviously, we can give that much away because that's in the title of the movie, The Singing Revolution. However, I have to ask you, what was it that got you involved in this project or even told you that this had occurred?
Yeah. Well, my father was born in Estonia, came to the States as a child. And so I was always aware of Estonia because that's where my father was from. And in 1999, my wife and I had a chance to teach filmmaking in the first media program in a college in Estonia. And the reason we could function, because I don't speak Estonian, is the language of the university was English, because they were taking students from all across Europe. It was in the course of teaching that we started learning a little bit about this thing, revolution. And we called all of our friends at home. Maureen and I considered ourselves reasonably well-informed about current events, and we didn't know much about it, didn't know anything about it, really. Called our friends at home. They knew nothing about it, and we just decided that it was the greatest story never told and that someone had to put this down on film, and we decided we had to do it.
I have to tell you, listeners, now this may sound just kind of, like we're just talking about something, but I'm telling you, this is a movement. This is not just a video production. This is not just a documentary. This is a movement. You will be forever changed. And I can only say that about a few documentaries. You will be forever changed when you see The Singing Revolution. It is that powerful. And to think, I mean, the footage that you got in this and showing how this all came about, that there was a revolution by a group of people that had no weapons. First of all, talk to us about Estonia. And for the homeschool children that are listening, you know, where is Estonia and why Estonia?
Well, Estonia is a Baltic country, maybe 40 miles south of Finland. It's a Nordic country, you could say, as well. The Estonian people are very related ethnically, DNA-wise, to the Finns. And Estonia has had a tradition of singing as a major part of their culture for literally thousands of years. Estonia is one of the oldest continuously inhabited lands on the planet, and anthropologists say that the Estonians have been there. The ethnic group that sits there now has been there since the last ice age, some 8 or 10,000 years ago. So Estonia, as small as it is, a country of 1.4 million people, is all, has one of the largest collections of folk songs in the world. And this tradition of singing is what allowed the people to unite themselves against the Soviet Union in the, throughout the entire Soviet occupation, but particularly in the late 1980s.
You know, and to think that this was, now, what is the history of the country? They had no weapons at all in that country. What is the history of Estonia that we need to know to appreciate this movie?
Yeah. Well, Estonia was first conquered by some German knights in the 13th century. I believe it was 1228. It was a 20-year war, and by 1228, the German knights had completely occupied Estonia. They would stay there, in fact, for hundreds of years and became known as the Baltic Germans. And it was sort of an aristocratic ruling class, even though the ultimate power in the country changed hands many times. That is to say, the Swedes came in and took it over after a point. The Poles in the Lithuanian Empire did in the 14th century at some point. Russian czars. But during all those occupations, you have this interesting phenomenon of the Baltic Germans, who stayed as kind of a ruling class, a bureaucracy, if you will, and the Estonians were really the serfs or the peasants. But the most horrible part of the... Well, they gained independence finally after World War I in 1918, and they actually fought a two-front war as the Baltic Germans came in with a mercenary army from the south and the Bolsheviks came in from the east. And the Estonian patriots, who were really primarily college students at the time in 1918, fought off both fronts and achieved independence for their country. Very relevant to the film is what happened in 1939-1940. A lot of people don't remember that Stalin and Hitler were allies at the beginning of World War II. And if I can elaborate on that a little bit, they signed a non-aggression pact, they call it, but it was really a military alliance, where Stalin and Hitler divided all of Europe between them and said, well, you can have that country and I'll take this country. And in the States, we're often taught that World War II starts with Hitler invading Poland in 1939. What we're often not taught is that 2 weeks later, Stalin invaded Poland from the east. And the Germans and the Russians met in the middle of Poland and celebrated the conquest of Poland, which was divided in half, half Russian, half German. And they celebrated with a victory parade down a Polish street. Now, the twist you couldn't make up is that the Russian general was Jewish. So World War II starts, in fact, with a Russian-Jewish general saluting Nazi troops, triumphantly marching down the streets of Poland. That's how close Stalin and Hitler were. And the reason that gets fuzzy for Americans, I think, is Hitler betrayed Stalin in 1941 and attacked Russia. So Stalin became a de facto ally of the Americans and the British, and that's how World War II ended. And I suspect the historians at the time in the late 40s just didn't want to be too hard on the Soviet Union and Stalin. And most people are not quite aware of this alliance between Stalin and Hitler that started the war.
Right. I don't think they are. In fact, you know, a lot of the history has been lost, and a lot of people need to be reminded of what happened there. This poor country has just been used and abused for so long.
Well, it's true. I mean, on the one hand, they were occupied for some 700 years, from 1228 till 1918. However, not all of the occupations were brutal. And, for example, the Swedish occupation was known as the Golden Years because during the Swedish occupation, which was the 16th and 17th centuries, the Swedish king brought in education programs for Estonians, and life was not bad. However, the most brutal period, without a doubt, started in World War II. So Stalin came in and took over Estonia in 1939-1940. He had one soldier for every 12 citizens invade the country. And I'm trying to do the math in my head for the U.S., but if you had an army occupy us with one soldier for every 12 citizens, that's an army of like 25 million soldiers.
Wow.
So they just had no chance. They just had no chance. But then Hitler turned against Stalin, invaded Russia, as I mentioned, and then invaded Estonia as well. And then when World War II ended and the Germans left, Stalin came back in. Now, if you think about it, it's pretty horrible being invaded by Stalin, then Hitler, then Stalin in and of itself. But even if, and this is a sort of a tricky thing to explain, but even if you wanted to be a collaborator, you were in trouble. Because if you collaborated with the Soviets in the first invasion, then when the Nazis came in, they'd get rid of you. And then if you collaborated with the Nazis, when the Soviets came back in, they'd get rid of you. So no one was safe in the country. As a matter of fact, in those 6 years, Estonia lost about 25% of its population. Again,
wow.
To make the American analogy, that would be as if 75 million Americans disappeared in 6 years.
What does your father tell you about that time frame when he lived in Estonia? What was life like there for him?
Well, my father came over as a 10-year-old, and he came over during a period in America that I like to call, I describe him as an Ellis Island immigrant. He literally came to Ellis Island. And his attitude was, I'm not an Estonian American, I'm an American. My children are going to speak English, this is the country I've adopted, and enough said. So he was not ashamed of Estonia by any means. We heard a little bit about it, but not a lot. He was more of an American patriot than an Estonian patriot, I would say, mentally. And, of course, since he came over when he was 10 years old, he ended up marrying an American woman who had no background as an Estonian. So our household was rather American-focused and not so much Estonian. Now, that being said, in 1986, when it was still the Soviet Union, under the Soviet Union, we took my father back to visit Estonia, and that was pretty touching, to see him visit his the land of his birth for the first time since 1924.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty special. And then he came back again in 1999 when my wife and I were teaching there. And part of the film that you've seen, Joyce, but your audience probably doesn't know about, is the Estonians, given the singing tradition, have a phenomenal song festival. It's hard to describe, but I'll start by saying 30,000 singers on stage.
Oh, wow.
And it's not any 30,000 who want to sing. You have to audition. It's the best 30,000 singers. And when my wife and I, when Marina and I first heard about this song festival, we thought, okay, they'll have a lot of these people stand up and sing, you know, halfway in tune, and it'll be really impressive for its size. But we were blown away by the professionalism of it. I mean, everyone's in tune, and the harmony is perfect, and it's just hard to explain. And our film has some shots of this festival, which are impressive enough, but I can tell you, having been to three of them now, nothing is a substitute for being at the festival itself. And my father came in 1999 and saw the song festival for the first time since his youth. The first song festival after Estonian independence was 1923. And that would have been 1 year before my father left for the U.S. with his grandfather.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, what a story. We'll be back. And you don't have to know all the history to appreciate the movie. But I'll tell you what, it sure adds another dimension to what happens in the movie. And the movie is, I even get goosebumps just thinking about it, listeners. We'll be back after this 4 minute break with James Tusty. Stay tuned to the Power Hour, the Singing Revolution. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. Caring about your world, doing the next right and honorable thing. I've got to tell you that the singing revolution will add a whole different dimension to your idea about how change comes about. That's all I can say. I don't want to give it all away to you, but it is just so powerful. You have no idea. The music together with the story is just phenomenal. And we're going to be carrying the DVD, the book, and the DVD book and teachers' lesson plans for students, for teachers and for students. And I know the homeschool students will probably really appreciate that. We'll talk about more about that with James Tusty in just a few minutes. He is the producer, director of the movie, along with his wife, The Singing Revolution. His father came from Estonia. And so the story is especially meaningful for, of course, from the standpoint of how much research has been done into the history of this. But it will change your life. They say a single nation, a million voices, the fall of an empire. Now, if that doesn't make you want to buy the movie, I don't know what will. James, what was it like going back there and producing this movie, seeing 30,000 people singing on stage, and then to have your father see the incredible work that you had done? I mean, I can't imagine a life with something more more of a gift than to give your father this.
Well, yes. As an aside, let me share with you in that realm that my grandfather in Estonia made pianos. And when my wife and I went to Estonia in 1999, in addition to teaching the course, we searched high and wide for Tusty pianos. You know, you lift the top of the keyboard cover, and instead of saying Steinway, it says Tusty.
Oh, really?
We found six of them, bought two, had them refurbished, sent them back to the States, and I was able to give my father one. And that was extremely enjoyable that he could have a piano in his house that his father made.
That makes me want to cry. Wow.
Yeah. So that was a wonderful gift that I was able to share with my father towards the end of his life. As far as the movie goes, he came over when we decided to start filming. Unfortunately, he passed away before the film was finished. He knew we were making it, and of course he was grateful for that, but he passed away in 2001.
Oh.
So he never did get to see the final film. My mother did, and even though she wasn't born in Estonia, she was married to an Estonian, so she was very appreciative of it.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it was very special having my father come over that last time in 1999 to share the song festival with us.
Well, we know he's seen it now, so.
Yeah.
Wow, how powerful. Oh, my goodness. And what was it, though, that kind of, I don't know, made you put this all together? The whole, the single nation, the million voices, the fall of an empire. I mean, what made you say, honey, to your wife, we have got to do this, Maureen. We have to do this.
Well, as I shared a little bit earlier with your listeners, in 1999 we taught a film course and learned a little bit about the singing revolution. Let me continue that story. We were invited back to teach again in 2001. And as I just shared with your listeners, in 1999, we kind of had a mission of finding Tusti pianos. And I think to this day, I have probably the largest collection of Tusti pianos in the States. I have two of them. But in 2001, our mission was to learn about the singing revolution. And we, every spare minute when we weren't teaching, we were talking to people over lunch, in between classes, over dinner, over drinks, just saying, what was this? What happened? What did you do? And the more we heard, the more our jaws dropped. Because you would hear stories about individual people risking their lives, putting on a hockey helmet for defense, because what else did they have? And standing in a field and singing forbidden songs under the eyes of Soviet police, not being sure what would happen next. And Maureen and I were so touched by the story and so taken by it and so touched by the fact that we knew nothing of it, and I have Estonian heritage. We truly did decide this film has to be made, and if not us, who? And if not now, when? And I can truly say we were just compelled to do it. So compelled that we started the film without funding, which is something I don't recommend to anyone, and you only do that if you can't help it, if you just can't help yourself. And fortunately, the funding eventually did come in, but we didn't know that in the beginning. What really motivated it was, this song festival happens every 5 years. I mean, mounting something of that size in a small country cannot be done annually. It's such a big deal. It takes a year to organize it. So 2004 was going to be a song festival. And while Maureen and I had promised each other we were going to make that film in 2001, life sort of took over, and mortgage payments and meals and family. And suddenly in 2003, we realized, if we don't start this film now, we're going to have to wait till 2009 for the next song festival. And that became a huge motivator. And,
my goodness, yes.
Yeah, so, then we just scrambled, and the journey began. Little did we know where it would end up, but the journey began.
Thank goodness. We'll be right back after this three-minute break. 29 after the hour, James Tusti is our guest. The singing revolution is the subject. Stay tuned. Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier. And I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you eat your mammoth food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
You're listening to a special encore of The Power Hour.
Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. It is 33 minutes after the hour. My name is Joyce Riley. James Tusty is our guest. The Singing Revolution, we'll get back to that in 1 second. But let me just say to you, please buy from the good guys. You know, we say this over and over. And why do I say it? Because if we support the people, like the Tusties here, and the work that they are doing, we support the good guys that are doing the next right and honorable thing. Put your money where it matters. And along with that, we ask you to support the Power Mall so we can bring you more of the Power Hour. And when you call the Power Hour, you can get the best products, hopefully made in America, if at all possible, and the best quality. For instance, the Bulk Spice Special, 1 pound bags of, I don't care if it's Italian seasoning, oregano, cinnamon, whatever it is that you want, we have the best. And the prices are so good. You can divide it up amongst all your family members. That's what we do out at the Power Mall. Everybody brings their baggie and takes home their spices because there's so much in a 1 pound bag that you can split it all 4, 5, 6 ways. There's a lot there, and it's cheaper to buy than those little bottles in the grocery store. So please purchase from the good guys. The Bulk Spice Special, and of course all your sprouting seeds, lentil seeds, garbanzo beans, whatever, available at the Power Mall. Then Aztec Wonder, Biochar, You're going to be learning more about biochar, and I cannot believe all the things that this biochar does for your garden. The Chick Magic, which is organic chicken fertilizer, available at the Power Mall. And it's now approved by Ron Kleinfelter, our resident farmer who gives us such good information. Then let me remind you quickly of the five-book special we have. This is historical work that was done by Robert Pelton on Thanksgiving cookery. He researched what they used to eat for Thanksgiving years ago in the U.S. when they first came over here. And that book, plus historical Christmas cookery, plus the Civil War period cookery, Revolutionary War period cookery, all researched with the people involved in this and the families involved for your children, and cooking recipes from the wives and mothers of our founding fathers. All these books are normally $84.75. All five books now are on special for $69.75. So please get it at the Power Mall, and please order The Singing Revolution. Rosie has put it on special for you. The first time we have an item, we usually put it on special. It'll be $23.75 at the Power Mall if you would like to get The Singing Revolution. Do not think, oh, this is just kind of a feel-good kind of DVD. I'm telling you, it's life-changing. And what a wonderful thing to show if you're having your family over for the holidays. What a wonderful thing to share with them. So get The Singing Revolution. Give it as gifts for the holidays. If you give gifts, think about giving The Singing Revolution. $23.75 at the Power Mall. Call 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829, and Wanda will be getting it up at the Power Mall very shortly. James Tusty is our guest today. He and his wife did this miraculous, marvelous film, which I can't even imagine what went into the production of this. I forget where we were before we went to the break, but just the production of this, 30,000 singers watching all of this, and you said you had to get back to what did they call it that they have 30,000 singers?
Festival is called Laulupidu. Is the Estonian word for song, and Pidu is festival. So they call it Song Festival in Estonian.
I see. And you had to get back over there and get that filmed because it wouldn't have happened for another couple of years. What an amazing experience it must have been there to have seen that.
Well, indeed. And it was the first one I had seen in 1999. We have since seen two more. But we ended up spending about 6 months in Estonia to shoot the film. This was no small process. And I dare say to produce the entire film is about a three-year process between the shooting, the research, and the editing. And as often happens in documentary films, for us, it was an iterative process. And, you know, the lens through which we looked at the story in the very beginning got more and more complex and more sophisticated as we learned more, of course. And one of the things that really struck me was, you know, we read in history about revolutions, the American Revolution for one. But what we learned about the Singing Revolution is the people were not unified in their methods. They were unified in their desire for independence from the Soviet Union. What some people felt to be too aggressive and too open in resisting the powers that be is too risky. Others felt that's the only way you can fight this fight. And so there were great many different ideas as to how to achieve freedom and independence. And then since making this film, I've often thought about the American Revolution, and I just imagine that obviously there were some who supported the British and some who supported American independence. But even among those who supported American independence, what I tell myself now is there must have been heartfelt arguments and debates about how far to go, and do we take arms against the British, or do we negotiate? And if we take arms, is it a skirmish or a full frontal assault? I just have to imagine there were many, many debates in the American Revolution.
Yeah, I can't, you know, it just brings history alive. But it is a form of history that people don't know about. I mean, why was it that somebody called in on the Power Hour, I can't remember who it was, but they said, if you see any DVD, you have got to see The Singing Revolution. okay, that sounds kind of like, you know, innocuous singing revolution, right? Uh-huh. But it is powerful. I mean, why doesn't history tell us about this? Why don't we know about this story? Other than...
No, Joyce, I get asked, Marie and I get asked that a lot, and we have three answers to that. In increasing order of importance. The first answer is, when was the last time you heard anything else about Estonia? It's such a small country, it's just not under radar. Secondly, the Estonians, more than any other nation I've been to, and my wife and I have been fortunate to travel the world a lot in our filmmaking career, the Estonians, more than any other people we've met with, hate braggarts. Now, braggarts are not loved in any country, but I can tell you if an Estonian Albert Einstein would say, I mess around with numbers a little bit, and they just don't like bragging. So to get an Estonian to say, we did this wonderful, great thing, is someone not in their nature. And I think it took a half American, half Estonian to tell the story. That'd be myself and Maureen. But I think the most important factor is it took 4 years, this singing revolution, and there was no violence. Had 100 people been killed, I'm sure it would have made the newspapers. But it's sort of a commentary on the modern press that things have to be big and special events to be covered. And something that is a brilliant revolution that took 4 years without a shot being fired just wasn't newsworthy. And I think it's why it didn't make the news. And let me explain to your audience a little bit how the Estonians did it. I'll start symbolically and then go specific. Symbolically, what the Estonians did is they would move ahead 1 inch one day and look around and see, did we get arrested? No? Okay, I'm moving ahead a second inch the second day.
Wow.
One of my favorite lines in the film is, patience is a weapon. And the Estonians indeed use patience as a weapon, which in some ways myself raised as an American, it's anti-American, where I was raised to think, do things big and do them sudden and do them fast. The Estonians just moved an inch a day, but you know what? After 4 years, you're ahead far enough that you've won the revolution. And let me give a specific example that I don't think gives away the whole film. But the flying the Estonian flag was illegal during the Soviet years. You couldn't do it. When Gorbachev came in and loosened things up a little bit, the 1 inch that the Estonians stepped ahead to test the waters was they took the three Estonian colors, the white, blue, and black, and they raised them as separate banners. And then they put the separate banners kind of close together, though not touching. So everyone could see those were the national colors being flown, but it wasn't flying the flag, so they technically hadn't broken the law, but they sure were challenging it. And then they waited to see if they were arrested for doing that, and they weren't, as it turns out. Which meant a mere 6 or 8 months later, someone had the bravery to bring out the flag and raise the flag. So they just kept on testing the waters a little bit, and we have talked to some other nonviolent specialists, nonviolent academics, and they did share with us that the whole nature of nonviolent revolutions is if you, exactly that strategy. If you break the law just a tiny, tiny bit, not a lot, a tiny bit, you put the totalitarian rulers in a bad position because either they're going to arrest you and they're going to look unduly harsh, or they're going to let you get away with it and you've broken the law. And obviously, when you're in extreme totalitarian situations, such as is going on in the world today, in many places, this tactic isn't going to work. Many Estonians have said to me, Jim, you know, you and Maureen exaggerate the situation in that if it weren't for world politics, if it weren't for Lech Walesa and the Berlin Wall falling and Reagan and Gorbachev and Pope John Paul and all these other factors, we wouldn't have been free. And my response to that is, well, yes, I do understand that in 1950, if 30,000 or 100,000 Estonians stood in a field and sang illegal songs under the eyes of the Stalin police, yes, 100,000 people would have been sent to Siberia essentially on a death sentence.
Mm.
However, when Gorbachev loosened things up and you did have a chance to act, you did act. And as soon as you had the opening to do that, you did do it. Where I dare say a lot of people would have still sat back in fear and not taken the action and when the opportunity was there. So I still give Estonians all the credit in the world, but I don't want to sound naive about you cannot take such action against thoroughly brutal dictators who are willing to kill at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think there's any of us that cannot look at the situation here in the United States and start to compare ourselves to the people in Estonia. I seriously mean that, because we're looking at the kind of oppression here, the kind of taxation, the financial situation of where it appears the market could implode at any time. And we're looking at control here like we've never seen before, drones over America, those kinds of things. And to hear that they just did 1 inch a day, 1 inch a day, that is so powerful. And how many people were doing this, because I know people are trying to figure out and visualize what you're talking about. How many people took that 1 inch a day step?
Oh, I would say virtually the entire country. And one of the other more dramatic parts of the movie, or part of history, is the Estonians, rather brazenly, while they were still under the Soviet Union, circulated a petition. And what the petition said is, I don't think the Soviet Union legally occupies my country. And I personally feel that I am a citizen of the 1939 Republic of Estonia before Stalin came in. I don't give any credence to this government. And virtually 100% of the adults of the country signed it. 860,000 people signed it. And if you take children out of the population, that's virtually every adult in the country of 1.4 million. Well, what could the Soviets do? The entire nation said, you're illegal. They couldn't throw the entire nation in jail. But Joyce, let me share with you, you remind me of a feeling that Maureen and I had in the mid-90s. And when Maureen and I went to Estonia in the mid-90s, this is before we were even thinking about doing the film, there was an appreciation for political and economic freedom that was palpable. You could feel it in the air. Everyone was so, so happy to be able to say what they wanted politically, to be able to start their own business or take whatever job they wanted. It was a feeling I'd never felt in the United States ever. And it's not because I think Americans are bad people. I think it's because when you have something for 200 years, you begin to feel that it's like the air you breathe. It always exists. And you don't have an appreciation for how valuable it is, and frankly, how few people throughout history, I dare say it's a small minority of people in history, who have lived under such freedoms. And the Estonian experience certainly gave Maureen and myself a refreshed appreciation for what we have in the States here. And even in Estonia now, a mere 21 years after the revolution, they are starting to lose that. You have a new generation of people now. If you were born in 1991, which is when they reestablished their independence from the Soviet Union, you're now 21 years old. You know nothing about Soviet oppression. You know nothing about what it was like to live in the Soviet Union. And it's somewhat of a human trait, I guess, or a human inclination. When you have something for a long time, you think it just exists. Maureen and I have a 7-year-old daughter. She thinks iPhones always existed. As far as she knows, the Neanderthals had iPhones. So I'm not quite sure how you establish a free nation and yet keep all the people within it appreciative of what that means. It's a tough job.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to open up the phone lines. For those of you who have seen the movie and were impacted as I was, I'd like to hear from you. The phone number, 855-995-6923, 855-995-6923. If you'd like to speak to James Tusty, thank him, or just express how powerful it was for you and your children and your families, because I have had so many emails of so many people who got the DVD and watched it with their families. And again, the DVD is on special at the Power Mall for $23.75. It's regularly $26.95. It's on special for $23.75. The book is on special for $30.75. And the DVD plus some extra DVDs, maps and 21 plans for teachers, is on special for $70.55. And I know I'm buying two of them, one for Ron Kleinfelter's school, homeschooling group in Arkansas. They have 26 families that meet once a week, and I'm going to give them one of these, and also to Josh and his family for their homeschooling, because I just cannot imagine how powerful this would have been if I would have seen it as a child. That's what I think is so good about it. And explain, if you would, please, that we've only got about a minute here, but explain the DVD, the teacher's sort of compendium.
Yes, we got a grant. We hired 6 teachers to write 25 lesson plans for American secondary schools. How do you use Singing Revolution in art class, in music class, in history class, in civics class? The 25 distinct lessons, all of which I think are interesting. And so that's what's part of the educational version. And As we speak, there are 3,000 of those DVDs in American high schools. We expect to have 10,000 American high schools by next year, reaching millions of students.
That is incredible. And then the book.
The companion book is written by Preet Vesteland, who is an Estonian-American who was an editor at National Geographic for many years. And he wrote the companion book, and my simplest way of describing it is think of a 188-page National Geographic magazine. It's picture-rich, very accessible reading about the history. But in the book, we can get into the history in a little bit more depth than you can in a 90-minute film. So there are a few more facts and details about what happened in the book.
Listeners, you're going to want the book. I mean, if you've got the DVD and you've seen it, you're going to want the book. And if you have homeschool students or if you can introduce it into the school system, you're going to want the teacher's compendium. It is just so thrilling to see this kind of wholesome, inspiring. I don't know. It makes me want to just well up every time I think about this movie. Nothing's ever done that to me. Nothing has ever impacted me the way the Singing Revolution has done. So I want to encourage you to get that at the Power Mall. Call us at 877-817-9829. And it won't be probably going out until Friday. So call the Power Mall now. Get it ordered, 877-817-9829. All right, we're going to go to a break now with James Tusty, and we will be back. Take your phone calls. So if you have a question or comment for James on the movie, it's going to be more. I mean, it makes so much more sense if you've seen the movie. You can't imagine what happens in the movie. You just cannot imagine. So give us a call if you'd like to talk to James Tusty, 855-995-6923, 855-995-6923. We'll be right back after this 3-minute break. Stay tuned. This is Joyce Riley, James Tusty, and the Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. It is 54 minutes after the hour. You know, I cannot believe there are no phone calls right now. That just shocks me. Of all of you that said, you've got to see it, you've got to see it, and then I saw it. And come on, if there's somebody out there that would like to just say thank you for having done this production, please give us a call, 855-995-6923, 855-995-6923, because it is overwhelmingly powerful. I mean, I cried for I don't know how long after it was over with, but it was such a good cry. James, you said that there was one thing that you wanted to mention about a couple of photos that you might want to concern parents about.
I just want to advise parents that there are two or three shots in the film that are black and white shots of World War II that involve, shall we say, World War II atrocities. They're not gratuitous. I don't think we overdid it, but it was important to tell the story. And the general guideline, Maureen and I are not parental experts, so every parent ideally can see the film themselves first and then make a judgment about their children. But the general consensus we've gotten is it's not appropriate for children 7 years and younger. It is appropriate for children 12 or 13 and older. And between.
Okay, you're just talking about those two photos, though, those two photos, not the whole entire movie.
Yeah, I think it's more like three or four. I mean, there are some black and white shots of dead bodies of people who've been executed by the Soviet military. And,
okay.
And just so the viewers have a sense of the kind of shots I'm talking about. And the shots that, in a way, we've all seen on History Channel here and there, but I just like to warn parents that those shots are in there for them to be alert to.
Well, that's very kind of you. I appreciate that. What is the impact when people see the movie? Do you get the same kind of thing like me, like, oh, this will change your life, this will change your world kind of information?
Yes, I mean, it's hard to talk about my own film that way and not feel we're being egotistical, but the feedback we do get, without a doubt, is people do say it transforms their lives, and I think it transforms their lives in two primary ways that are very different. One is certainly appreciation of the history and understanding what the Estonians suffered through and appreciating the grace through which they got their freedom after being devastated, losing 25% of their population. How did they avoid violence in retribution for that? But they did. But the second way is the Estonians won their battle against such odds. And the tagline I like to use is the story of David beating Goliath without even using a slingshot. And when people see what the Estonians achieved under such dire consequences, it gives them hope and faith and belief in themselves for whatever battles they might be facing, that there is something to draw upon within, that if they are just thoughtful about it and strategic about it, they can achieve their goals. So sometimes the lessons people take from the film transcend the history.
You know, it's hard to believe that anyone could watch this and not be changed. I mean, it's really hard to believe that, because the one kicker, the one line that you just said, they prevailed in their freedom. And that's what I want people to understand. Let's go to Dan in North Carolina. Dan, you're on the air with James Tusty. Go ahead, please.
How you doing, Joyce?
I'm blessed. Thank you very much. Go ahead, please.
The other day, a gentleman called in and talked about a movie that was out. He said it was called The White Castle. It's called The Last Castle.
Okay. Have you seen The Singing Revolution, though? Have you seen The Singing Revolution, Dan?
No, but I wanted to make a comment about The Singing Revolution. You made a comment the other day referring to a Heath bar.
Wait a second. Thank you very much for the phone call, Dan. This is not on topic. I'd like to keep it on topic if you don't mind. Connie in Ohio, you're on the air. Go ahead, please, Connie. Wow, it's... All right, let's go to Johnny B. in Missouri. Johnny B., you're on the air.
Hey, Joyce.
Yes.
I just want to thank the gentleman for the initiative to bring the truth forward for us.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
Thank
All right,
you.
Stay right there. We got a 1 minute, 10 second break. Johnny B., we'll be right back. Stay tuned to the Power Hour.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.